Фильм «Мостой чистый». Или «Дядка».
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much to the school and to the organizers. It's my great honor, and in 1 minute we are ready. Okay, very good. Thank you. So, again, good evening, everybody. My great honor. I apologize very much. I'm sorry that I do not speak any Russian. This is my first time in Russia, so maybe if I come more often, I could learn a bit. For now, sorry. I presented some slides on the topic of digitization and big data, changing our business and our society. And I also used to think a little bit about how it will change university life and research, but I think I will reduce this for time constraints. I've been working on this topic with some other words since 2000, when I became a professor on this topic on media and technology management at the University of Cologne in Germany. So please come and visit me. Let's see if this works.
Button down.
Ah, button down. Okay, sorry for that. One more time. So my first slide, before I start with the slides, if anybody is interested, I'd be happy to share the slides later on. I could email them and he could forward them to whoever he knows. I promise to say less than is on the slides, just for the time. The first slide basically tries to say that in my eyes we do not agree what digitization is and we do not agree what big data is. We all know it exists somehow, but because we do not have a precise definition, it is very hard to do research, precise research on it, because we always change the story. AI on the slide stands for artificial intelligence, but it's too big for this one. And artificial intelligence, I think, is very much dependent on big data and has become very popular recently because of the data. So AI lets us systematically use so-called unstructured, non-structured data. And we all know this. Numbers do not matter. Lots of data. Phones, sensors, cameras, codes, Googles, everything. So they all have a lot of data. And also, of course, on cars, in the nature, from winds. My example is always the weather app. And if we have all this data, which is there, then AI to me means that we make something out of this data. Machines, computers can understand, interpret, learn, and a little bit interact with the data. So that's the idea of artificial intelligence. And long story short, to me, AI means that the computer seemingly seems to have some capabilities that are similar to our cognitive processes, to our thinking and decisioning. So we have computers for many other things, for many types. Here we had a lot of expertise in expert system, in artificial intelligence, in modeling for 40, 50 years, 60 years. The idea now is, it's not new, but it's going everywhere. And as I will say at the end, love it or hate it, like it or do not like it, it will be here. In other words, not everything, not all that is digital or information technology or robots or big data is AI. No, a lot of computer is not AI. But all AI needs digital data. And we have a lot of it. So I thought about talking about the impact of this AI on three fields: management, business, and research. But frankly, I decided to skip the research part to make it a bit shorter in time. So, to me, I'm from a business school, I'm a professor of business administration, and that's very close to management. And the core of management to me is decision making. Lots of other things, but it's really deep in our hearts about decision making. Now, I already said that I think we have more and more data available in computerized form, in bits and bytes, digital form. And this is a very old citation from Chris Anderson, and there are others, the guy with the long tail. With enough data, the numbers speak for themselves. So all of you who are somewhere in mathematical modeling, statistics, econometrics, anything quantitative, you know more, much better than I do, that if you have a large enough data set, everything is important and significant. What does it mean? I think if we have all this data, and if we have the algorithms, the computers, it will lead to a management revolution. And that's really different then. And revolution, in our dictionaries, means changing power structures. Not 100% sure if that's the same here, but pretty much I think it is. So it's not just innovation or radical innovation, it's changing power structures, which is more, in a way. And when we learn English, I'm from Germany, right? So when we learn English, we always learn about this animal, the hippopotamus. It's such a funny word to our ears that every German student learns hippopotamus as a vocabulary. So these are big, sometimes fat, slow animals. And I think we used to have them in management. And now comes big data and AI. And I think this is bad news for the hippopotamus. Because to me, It's not only an animal. The words, the letters also stand for, so AI, we have all these computers, right? Machine to machine, apps, recommending. But so it's not only an animal or two words, but it's also the abbreviation for the highest paid person's opinion. This is not from me. This is from our colleagues from the MIT, Massachusetts Institute, citation. But the HIPPO stands for the highest paid person's opinion. And the idea is that in the old world, we have many committees and many groups, but at the end of the day, we all go home, we all exchange opinions, and the HIPPO decides. It would not. To call it this way, means are always excluded, but in general, the HIPPO decides. Okay? And if that's the case, if we really change from the HIPPO has decided to now big data, numbers decide, which is different from people talking forever, then this would change decision making and thereby management. Numbers talk. So if the group brings numbers, the computer screens bring numbers, and they are convincing because the algorithms are good, it will be harder and harder for the HIPPO to decide in his personal way. That's the whole idea. So this will change decision making. We talk about data-driven decision making, and at the site it would also change the value of domain knowledge. So that, I think, to me is the most powerful impact that we will see, with more and more unstructured data being computerized and used and impacting our cognitive processes.
How are you doing?
Okay. So that was the shorter version of changing management. My view is that most radical. And actually, going back one more time to my HIPPO. Sorry for that. Poor translator. I think it's the third time we have a science-based revolution. The first one was when we found the telescope. We. Okay, because due to science, due to science, we saw the world differently as a bomb. Okay, the second time was when we found the microscope, because all of a sudden we could look into the body and into a lot of other things, much more detailed than before. And now I think with this AI, big data analytics, we can look into cognitive processes. We don't really look into the brain yet, but we look into, we provide the numbers, and I think we will change, or this technology with the data will change the cognitive processes and change the way we argue. Okay. Second, on business and society. Too many words. Sorry for that. I think we have been talking about these things for a long time. There are many, many, many examples out there. You know better than I know. Where AI and big data have changed business models. We have sensors in cars and trucks. We measure, we have different business models for insurance companies, for observation. I think an example that also non-university people know is we see more and more more and more artificial intelligence also in sports. They analyze everything. They catch your muscle power and all your physical data when you do your sports, or when the professionals do the sports, and they calculate a lot of things, who should be on court, who should be exchanged, where you should run. So that's all data-based decision making. hardly any professional is out there competing without counting on data these days, I think. Again, we have all, we're all aware that the phone knows where you are and somebody can make money with that. We may get sensors all over. And last but not least, it's usually good for some entertainment, but let's keep it short here. I think you can also predict the quality of the wine with computers. I think it's very boring. It takes the fun away from a good evening and a good dinner. But it's not more intuitive than a drop of your blood. Medical doctors can do the same thing for blood, put a drop of wine and they tell you exactly what it is. Do we like it? But it changed business. If you're a winemaker and you're a high-priced wine, you don't like this. If you're a low-priced winemaker, you like this a lot. And then there are lots of other examples, I guess. I don't know how technology-oriented you are, but I guess for lots of new business models, but we do need the technology to roll out. In university, we have a lot of labs, and you can try things. But most of these business models depend on milliseconds, machines doing something. And so I guess you need good networks that bring the milliseconds on the application. One thing I'd like to do is I think there is a semi-good impact on employment. Very simply, putting it very simply, there's this kind of figure, which is not for me, but we all agree. There's high employment in highly skilled labor people. Computers have already done a lot in the middle. And there's still high employment in the low-skilled part of the society for kindergarten, gardening, cleaning, all these things. But most of us agree that the computers have already impacted the middle-skilled, middle-level. And if that's true, then we will push education as a political decision. Because you want to give your children the opportunity to be on the high-skilled part of the figure. Now, I'm not sure it's fully true any longer. I think this AI and big data or technology requires that we think again. Very simply, there are two kinds of tasks, manual, moving with your hands, and cognitive. And then there are routine tasks and non-routine tasks. And in the routine tasks, we know that the computer can do. Both for manual things, at factory, and also cognitive. Calculators and simulations. For the non-routine ones, I thought the computer cannot do. But I think we see more and more the computer can do. The truck driving or car driving, autonomous vehicles in a household, we start having vacuum cleaners, all these things. So we thought, my flat is different from yours, so how can a computer know? But apparently they can. In Japan, they have a lot of computers taking care of elderly people. Not computers only, but several tasks are given to computers. And in the cognitive part, there's a lot of diagnosis. Medical diagnosis done already. There is legal jobs, accounting jobs that are done increasingly by computers and managing others, which is managing. So if that's two, then the boundary, the difference between what is routine and not routine is not so clear anymore. The computer can only do routine things. It has to be routine for the computer. It's not routine for us. So I think it's not so obvious anymore.
Yeah, this one,
the right one. Right? So chess, we thought, was cognitive, not for the computer. Then 30 years ago, we had Go, and all of a sudden the computer can do this. Now the computer can do Go, this game, some of you have seen. Whatever. If that's the case, back to my old picture, you want the picture again? Let me give you the photo again. If that's the case, then I think the computers can also impact the left part of the picture. That's what we just said. And if that's the case, or the equivalent is, it changes decision making, it changes cognitive high skilled jobs, which is ours. And of course, now we can ask, everybody has his or her own opinion, what it means for education. Do we want to be educated to do what the computer does? Or as soon as I stop, you will tell me that it's for everything but not for our jobs and what we teach. That's very likely. So we do empower individuals with these machines. We do empower companies, and again, many business models out there. I think it's clear to me as an economist, business person, that it's more efficient with computers. Computers are cheaper than people. For the economists among you, there's a question mark about the economic rent, about the profitability. But let's leave it here. There's a bigger question mark in society about privacy, security. Personally, I think there's no way to make this secure. Never ever. But it's a good business model to pretend you can make it secure. But I don't think you can ever do that. You can encrypt, but any encryption makes only sense if the other side decrypts.
And the third side does not.
Exactly. And nobody fools around. Exactly. But you need to allow for decryption, otherwise it doesn't make sense. And so I think it's not possible. Job creation, I talked about it. And as a result, I'd like to cite a friend of mine, Shirky, he's from New York University. He says two things which I think are interesting. The first one is, we see it everywhere, but not in our own profession. I think it's so true. In my country, it's so true. As a business professor, so I've talked about computers changing media business, changing logistics, changing finance, changing everything. We don't like to talk about changing professors. Not a good idea. Okay? But, you know, I think it will be there. So for the university, I think it's there. But, the other one that Shirky says is, I don't know, some people like it better. He says it's easier to understand that you're have to face competition, that there are competitors out there, than to accept that you're getting old, obsolete. And I think that's a very human thing. We are okay in facing competition, but we are not so okay in facing that we are the old model, the old world. And as long as we don't face it, I guess we don't move fast enough. So everybody can have their own opinion, right? So it's not even me, but I admit I like it a lot. I think it's very true. In my country, in my experience, it's very true. So I had a third part on the research side that I'd like to skip it for almost everything. Forget it. But I'd like to show this kind of final, not final, but one on research or on education. There's an old saying by Polanyi. He was research assistant to Einstein, so I consider him clever. I don't know if that's a good logic, but I do. And Polanyi used to say, we know more than we can say. So I guess it's true. Otherwise we talk all day. But only what we say, we make data, and that goes into this artificial intelligence. Somehow we have to express it once to bring it into this computerization cycles. So I think it's still also true for the time of sensors and big data and artificial intelligence. Another one that is an old saying that we have said is acquiring knowledge or power to decide takes time. And the best example for me is to learn a language takes time. There's no computer that helps me learn the language faster. There may be computers that help me not needing the foreign language. I like analog computers though. But yeah, I think some things do take time. So it's not really true for AI. Once we have big data, it's very fast. And that's one of the issues. So the resulting question is, to me in the university, teaching and research, who will educate who? Will the computers and the data educate us to know what, to master what, to learn which algorithm? And who decides? And the example I have is always my weather app. I assume you all have a weather app on your smartphone. If you have a smartphone, you have a weather app. And so with your weather app, everybody's clever and can tell me what the weather will be tomorrow. So it's like we know it. 50 years ago, this was a special expertise that only mainly people, either meteorologists or agriculture people out in the farms, they look into the clouds and they knew. Right? So we learn very fast. I learn now the weather of tomorrow in 5 seconds. But the question is really, who teaches what? Do I still need to know by looking into the clouds, or is it good enough to look at my weather app? Very simple example, but I guess the same applies to many, many other things. Last but not least, I think, to summarize a little bit, I think AI and big data will be here. I don't think we all like it. I do not think we all like it. But I think nobody cares. I think it will be here. Second, I think it will change our way we make decisions in groups, in power structures. Decision making is power. It's not deciding on the weather for tomorrow. And as a result, it will also very much change the way we do business and also probably how we live in a society, including this idea of impacting the highly skilled people. But also, no sector should underestimate, including universities. Not this one, mine. But also, I do think there's none of this without the human brains. I do not think the computers learn by themselves. They learn on data we give them. but we give them the data, if we like or not. By moving around, by having the phone in the pocket when you're here, somebody knows. By every payment we make, by everything we do. So no, nothing of all of this without us. And as so last line, I think we should be realistic. That's my idea. And I hope that also my dean will be realistic and my rector, because I think it will also change university life. But then I hope that those who think about it early are in a better position than those who think about it later, which is the general idea of science and being active out front. So that's pretty much my own stake point on this. I wanted to show you those four books. They're all by Americans, I think. This guy, Ray Kurzweil, part of this is also from him. He is now Chief Technical Officer of Google and used to be a professor at the MIT. And, you know, we are in this funny world. I don't want to go across because then he cannot take the picture. But this guy, Alex Pentland, used to lead the MIT Media Lab. But more importantly, in 2013, 5 years ago, he was the most cited person of all that we can read. So maybe you can give me a Russian who is cited more than him. But, you know, we in universities, we count publications and citations. So across disciplines, he did this, the book on, not only this, I mean, all his work was the most cited stuff. And this is my friend Shirky, who says we are better to face competition than to face it via the old model. And I guess my time is up.
Yes.
And I'd like to thank you very much. Thank you.